well-known account here we have in Scripture. The man of God, Joshua, who was born in the land of Egypt, who came through the exit out of Egypt through the Red Sea, down to Mount Sinai. And God said to Moses, bring a man called Joshua up Mount Sinai with you and leave him halfways while you come up onto the top. Joshua was a military leader. Why did God ask Moses to bring him halfways up? Because God was preparing him for a task that was yet to happen. He was being prepared. He was being trained and trained how to stand alone in the present, in the dark times. And Joshua, he saw Moses lead the people of Israel, how he received the law, the commandments, how he was one of the spies and went into the land of Canaan and spied it out and came back and stood before Moses and Aaron and said, when all the others were saying, we can't go because the people are like giants and the walls of the cities are huge. We cannot go. When Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. They were men of faith. They were men who were trusting in the God of heaven. But yet, the people listened to the ten and they turned against them. And what happened? 40 years were wasted. 40 years were wasted because of the unbelief of the majority of the people. And you know, that's a great challenge to me this evening. That we live in a nation that needs God. And sometimes we're afraid to step out in faith and trust Him. We're lacking when we see the need of our land and our nation. Moses has led the people to Moab. He has now died. And Joshua has left. He has left without Moses as his leader. But what did God say to Joshua? He said to Joshua the same words that he gave to Moses, to be strong in the Lord. To be strong, to be courageous. And if you're courageous in the Lord, then you will know success. And I wonder this evening, as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, are we strong in the Lord? Are we courageous? Are we courageous enough to step out in faith and trust Him into the unknown? And here, if we go back into Joshua chapter 3, we would see the test of faith, where the miracles begin. They're there in Moab. Moses has passed away. Joshua stands before the people. And there, what does the people do? But they immediately respond to him. Why? Because they saw him as a military leader, someone whom they could trust. The people say, how are we going to do it? And Joshua says to the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God to step into the river. To step into the river Jordan that was about to overflow its banks. And Joshua says, step into the water. Step into the unknown. And what does God do? He opens the Jordan. And they go home on dry ground. What is God wanting us to do? He is wanting us to step out in faith and trust Him. Forgetting all, I trust Him. And that was Joshua. It opens before them and it closes behind them. So they were home. There was no way back. But they were back where God wanted them to be. What did it remind them of? It reminded them of the crossing of the Red Sea as they came out of slavery. It confirms Joshua's authority under God. Why? Because Joshua, he trusted in God, his authority came from God, and he depended on him, and the people followed and obeyed. So now they were in the land of Canaan. But the task was only really beginning, wasn't it? Yes, they looked back. 40 years had passed by, wasted, but now they were home. And here we have a man of Joshua who was tested as a man of faith. A man trusting in God. And here, Joshua, we see the opportunity of faith as we see in Joshua chapter 6, 1 and 2. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." As you look at Jericho, when you look into the city of Jericho, it is a big city. The walls are massive, they're huge. In actual fact, there are two sets of walls, one outside, or one inside the other, or one outside the other, whichever way you look at it. It was a strong, walled city. The defenders are mighty men of valor. And humanly speaking, how would you do it? How would you conquer it? Well, on a human level, the options were clear, weren't they? Scale the walls. Beat down the gates. Maybe tunnel under the walls at night. Humanly speaking. But faith offered an alternative. And as faith offered an alternative, just as in salvation. We live in a nation where people are depending upon good works and doing good one to the other. But what does the Bible tell us? To trust in Christ and ask for His forgiveness and allow Him into your life as Lord and Savior of your life and know Him as your Savior in order to be with Him in heaven. But Joshua's faith builder. He is a faith builder. And it came to pass, Joshua 5, 13 to 15, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. Consternant with his young, enthusiastic heart, was setting out on his war campaigns. When they tell us, the appearance of the sky arrested his attention. As the eyes of the conqueror looked up into the heavens, behold, there seemed shaped to his vision a cross of fire. And beneath it, in letters of flames, were inscribed in Latin. And it means in Latin, it says, in this sign thou wilt conquer. It may have been a dream. It very likely was, but oh, there is truth in it. If you can see the cross, you have got the vision that ennobles and enlivens and brings conquering power to you in this life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But when there is a vision, the vision of Calvary, the vision of the Lord Jesus, there is life, there is joy, there is peace, and there is blessing. Where there is a vision, there is life, joy, peace, and blessing. I wonder this evening, what is your vision? What is it in? Or who is it in? What is it? Joshua had an encounter with an angel. There in chapter 5, He lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And so he said, "No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And what did Joshua do? He fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua did as the angel commanded him, because he stood before a holy God. And friends, this evening we come before a holy God who cares, who wishes none to perish. And we must go. We must go. The promise, "I have given into thine hand Jericho." You see, God's promise made the victory sure. Why? Because he wasn't depending on his own, on himself, but he was depending on God above. The opportunity of faith. But what about the obedience of faith? They were to be disciplined. A strange battle plan was given to Joshua. Yes, humanly speaking, scale the walls, beat down the gates, tunnel underneath at night. But what did God say? Compass the city once a day for 6 days. You know, as I've thought about this, as I've taught this to the children, I sometimes say to the children, you know, the people who were in Jericho when God said to Joshua, "The city is yours." I often think about those people laughing at the Israelites, walking around, not a sound, not a whisper, but trusting in the God of heaven. Trusting him. Because he was their strength. He was their help in the time of need. He has brought them home. He is going to give them the victory. And then the seventh day, they were to compass the city 7 times. And only on the command of Joshua and his leaders, when they blew the trumpets, only then could they shout praise to their God. They were to listen to Joshua's leadership and trust him. We must not use all our resources. We have the strength, but do not resort to the tyranny of using it. Some things are to be accomplished by submission, patience, meekness, knowing the righteousness of the cause. We await the issue with imperturbable calm. A lesson to be learned by those who are impatient. Life without discipline is life without dignity. But when the priests blew their ram's horns, all were to shout. Think for a moment of the faith required of this plan. Humanly speaking, how can it be? But they had to follow the direction of the Master. They had to follow the direction of God above, and Joshua had the responsibility of relating that to the people. Friends, God has given us his word. He has given it to us to proclaim it. And we have to be faithful in proclaiming it truthfully. You see, all of God's blessings come by faith. We think of our salvation. Saved by grace alone. Our salvation comes by faith. For by grace you are saved through faith in Christ, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith brings answers to prayer. Why? Because we pray and ask God, believing Him to answer according to His will. So all of God's blessings come by faith. But faith requires obedience. Obedience. Obedience was required for the task to be successful. Go back to 2 Kings in chapter 5. The healing of Naaman the leper. Go wash yourself 7 times. 5 wasn't enough. It had to be the 7. Obedience. The servants carrying pots for wine at the wedding in Canaan. They were bringing the jars of water. They did it because they were asked to fill them with water. But when they went to fill their beakers, it was the best. Because God, Jesus, did a miracle. Faith. What about Paul's prayer on the road to Damascus? When Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, before he became a believer in God, in the Lord Jesus. And Saul, as he was known then, cries out, "Lord, what will thou have me to do? What do you want me to do?" And Jesus replied, "Go into Damascus. And there you will be told what next." Friends, are we afraid to step out? Or are we holding back because of fear? Instead of launching out, as Jesus said to the disciples, launch out into the deep. And what happened? They needed help. The best catch of their fishing career were caught when Jesus said, launch out into the deep. How strange this must have been, must have appeared to those in Jericho. Walking around, people in Jericho probably thinking, oh, they're off their heads. They're crazy. We don't have a problem. But come day number 7, around and round and round they went. You see, here we have the opportunity of faith, the obedience of faith, but we have the overcoming power of faith. The overcoming power of faith. They marched around the city 7 times. The priests blew their trumpets, and the people shouted, and the walls fell flat. But when you think about those walls falling flat, I think about Rahab. I think about Rahab, who protected the spies as they were to spy out. Went to spy out Jericho. She had seen in those spies that no matter what she would try to do, that God would give them the city anyway. And what did she do? She protected the spies. She let them out the window with their scarlet rope. She hung it by the window, and it reminded her that if I do what I'm asked to do and stay within my 4 walls, I will be safe. Friends, this evening, are you playing your Christian walk with God safe, staying within the four walls? Or are you doing like Joshua, walking around the city and ready to blow the trumpets and shout praise to God and see the walls come down and launch out into the deep and see what he can do? That lady Rahab was welcomed into the Israelite families. Why? Simply because she trusted in the God of heaven. What are we doing? I can't help but think of what has happened in these recent weeks. And seeing doors open before us. And I'm trusting God to meet the need. Friends, don't play the game safe. Don't play your Christian walk with God safely. Launch out. Trust him. And see where he takes you. Friends, we have a responsibility. We have a life to live, but we have a life to live as a witness before God and see others come to him. Because there are people out there who are lost, dying without Christ. And we need to go. We need to go. What is your greatest obstacle? Is it fear? Is it lack of trust? The only way you can overcome that obstacle is to overcome it through the power of Christ. Why? Because he has won the greatest victory at the cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood so that we could have life eternally with him in heaven. Why should we fear? Let us have a fear of God and not of man as we seek to live for him. Maybe there's something that maybe some of you are going through and you're afraid to step out because you might just think you'll lose it. Yeah, you might have to let it go. But you know what? You'll gain much more when you trust him. Trust him to bring victory to you. The opportunity of faith, the obedience of faith, but the overcoming power of faith. Forgetting all, I trust him. Are you trusting him? Are you leaning on his power, his presence, his strength, day by day? Or are you depending on your own strength to live and to walk with him day by day? The Bible says he is our strength. He is our comfort. He is our help in time of need. He is our strength day by day. Our closing hymn says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. here in the love of Christ, I stand. You know, we can stand tall. We can stand strong when we stand in the power of His might and not our own. As we sing this hymn through, let us think of these words: in Christ alone. Thank you.